So did you call back Renteria yet? What's going on there?
I did. It's a missed call situation.
And phone tag.
I don't know how good he is at text because he's not an analytics guy. So I'm actually texting him, and it feels like texting my parents, where my dad doesn't text me back because I don't think he knows how to do it.
Right. Or, I mean, perhaps there's other reasons there that you're not aware of.
I mean, yes, but he did call me back. But he did call me back. So I've got a missed call. It could be a butt dial, I suppose. But Billy, what level of excitement do you have as we approach getting Rick Renteria on the air? You guys don't believe we'll be able to badger this very nice man into saying bad newsworthy things about the White Sox, do you?
Why do you want to badger a nice man, though?
For the news item, to get the item of Renteria rips White Sox.
I mean, you can't criticize him if he does, Billy. The guy got to the playoffs and then got fired. I mean, he has every right to criticize the White Sox.
What's the scale in terms of excitement? You ask how excited I am. What is the scale that I'm working on here?
1 to 10.
Well, what is your scale? Is 10 Masked Singer? Like, what is your scale of excitement?
Should we get him? At this point, I feel like if we get him, it can only not live up to the hype.
Oh,
well,
that's for sure.
Be, right?
No, but he's going to be very boring and cliche. That's the thing. We'd have to do the show around him.
Isn't that what we're looking forward to, honestly? I thought that's what we were all on the same page.
Well, what's
I was
the
hoping
joke?
For him to
well,
be terrible.
Okay, so let's work this out, because over the course of this week, we're going to set up the joke, and here's the here's the big Rick Renteria exclusive interview.
Also, what Billy
ESPN.
Has to deal with, there is a major guest situation brewing now. 2 hour show, 4 guests.
He's right.
It's impractical. You can't pull this off.
I mean, Jericho keeps winning. We have our scheduled appearance with
Perchin. You keep saying Jericho keeps winning. He was 1-4 last week, but Cowherd was so shitty.
So is he
that
back?
That he tied it.
He had
advantage.
A winning week, right. I mean, say that to his face tomorrow when he's on with us.
He was 1-4.
Let's say it to his face. Teddy Atlas wants to call in inexplicably.
Well, what's that about? I mean, hold on a minute. What's
Lomachenko
that about?
Lomachenko is fighting.
Yeah, big fight. And he has a camera set up. We're going to look, we could have the possibility of Rick Renteria and Teddy Atlas together.
Teddy Atlas, we've got danger with Teddy Atlas. He's a bit of a yammerer.
Him on camera, too, is just opening up a whole new
Why are we doing this?
Okay, Teddy Atlas, I mean, what do you mean?
We haven't talked to him in a while, catching up with Teddy.
Okay, but this is the thing about you, Billy. You like when this show derails and goes into the gutter. It's one of the great sources. Billy. Billy.
What do you mean?
Billy.
Teddy.
Exactly.
No.
Teddy, well said, Billy.
Teddy makes me work so hard, and you know this. Are you not planting sabotaging guests?
Last time Teddy was on, Chris was shadowboxing.
Billy.
Billy is right here. Dan, you just lob it to Teddy, and Teddy will take it away for an entire segment. Mm-hmm. Very few guests in the history of radio could do what Teddy Atlas does.
Billy is
takes your one question and answers it in 11 minutes.
Billy is trying to be an anarchist here with now his guest booking. Billy. Billy.
Yeah,
that's what some might have said about Carlton, and how did that work out?
Boy.
It was good, actually. See, I think Carlton's going to call tomorrow, and if you tell me I can't talk to Carlton again because you force-fed me one of these Teddy Atlas interviews, I'll kill you myself.
Carlton's going to be in the range of Jericho or Kirkchin, I think.
How can we do that in 2 hours? It's too much.
It's impossible. You can't.
Billy, you can't resort to sabotaging the show through guest bookings. Like, Carlton Maybe. Works. Billy, hold on a second. Explain this to me, because I'd like to understand this. I really would like to understand what happened during the show today that would have been uproariously funny to Billy and Guillermo Mafia. But was a joke only for Billy and Guillermo Mafia. So this is what happens on the show. And I didn't let the joke sit because I was simply annoyed that Billy was making a joke only for the television audience and not for our radio audience that isn't consuming the show visually. So he makes a joke that is him pantomiming freezing in the Zoom. And it's a good joke.
It was a good one.
It's a good joke.
It was an audio payoff, though.
Yeah.
The audio froze, too, Dan. He stopped mid-word.
Yep.
It's a Chris good joke that requires... I got it, Billy. Don't make it. Chris gets it. I got what you were doing as well. It just didn't help me do, my radio show.
Oh, this guy is He's operating next level.
The problem is I can't go without blinking. I blink too much.
And your dog barked in the background.
Yeah, I'm a blinker.
How about Claire's appearance on the show today? Yammering Claire. We barely opened Roy's microphone. And Roy, you were a grinder through that. I salute you for just bulldozing Princess Claire.
Especially with the Timo Perez setup.
I was completely distracted because of her. Like, I was yammering, trying to get to my point, and then I forgot what I was saying, and I had to get back to where I was saying. Yeah, it was a disaster.
It was a good show.
It was a good show today. Chris, how did you feel about this is what I miss about doing the show in the studio. I was reminded of that today in a way that was pretty cool, because I don't know how many of you guys now have felt this the way we have, but the show is a different version this way. I'm thrilled that we've gotten it this close to being our show, because the pandemic was really hard on us and it didn't have anything to do with sports. It's figuring out how these things bounce off each other so that we can entertain you. And I miss so much, because I'm typing this stuff to Chris during the chat. The chiming in of 2005 baseball players is something we would have done for two segments or a whole show. And we couldn't do it because we can't get our timing down this way, because I'm an old man and I'm slowing down and it's hard to write in the chat what I need from Chris. It's much easier to just look at him and know that he understands. It's that unspoken language we have. Chris knows, oh, wait, this is the joke. We're going to ride this. I'm going to get the whole 2005 roster of the White Sox and I'm going to do this for three segments. But we can't do it this way because we've had the chemistry of the studio taken away from us.
We have gotten pretty close, as you pointed out. We have gotten pretty close.
I disagree.
But not where we want to
get. I disagree.
Alfonso Ribeiro was a really good teammate in that spot, too. Who'd you say that he just gave you a courtesy laugh there for?
Timo Perez.
Yeah, yeah. The first one, he was like, what the?
Yeah, well, that's what I loved about it. See, that's what I loved, Chris, about what happened there. The first one was a joke just for the audience. Right under Carlton's nose, you threw a fastball by him. He's ultra-competitive Carlton. He wants to crush everybody.
He sounded confused by it, too.
Yes. Well, of course he was confused by it, because what is it that you said? You said Carl Everett out of nowhere.
Yeah, Carl Everett.
A voice that hadn't been introduced, just said Carl Everett, and we were going to let the joke soar through the sky, but Carlton, he ruined it by saying what happened, by reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And all you gave us, I was surprised you went Timo Perez next reference, though. Chris, there are so many better names on that 2005 roster.
Yeah, but I think we went through most of them.
Yeah,
when you burned through a Tayadito Iguchi. Like,
wait, we didn't mention, did anyone mention Robin Ventura?
He was on that team?
Wasn't he?
That's a different time.
I'm mixing up
eras.
This is the
05. That team?
Oh, no. Ozzie Guillen was the manager of that team.
Yeah. No, Ventura was. I think Ventura was retired by then.
I'm mixing eras. Yes.
Yeah. They had Canerco and Creedy. And who was the shortstop?
Ross Glode was a good one as a pinch hitter.
They had Uribe.
Benny Gucci. Yeah, it's quite the infield.
Freddie Garcia, right?
Aaron Rowand, I could have said.
Who was the center fielder? Rowand was the right fielder? Who was the center fielder for that?
I think Rowand played center field. Podsednik played left field. And who played right?
Jermaine Dye.
And Everett was the DH.
Yeah, he would have the ball icon next to him in MVP baseball. That means he had a chooch.
What a team.
I mean, Frank Hurt was on that. Frank Thomas was on that team.
That was surprising. That was surprising to me that Frank Thomas was on that team.
Names and nicknames. This is great. Pete Hussle. I mean,
you can keep doing that the rest of this segment if you want to do it.
Ozzy Wizard.
If you just want to start writing those down, we could do that. That pitching staff wasn't as good as I remember, though. Hold on a second. Was it Burley?
Because Burley, Garland, Freddie Garcia,
Contreras.
That's a good starting line.
And El Duque.
And El Duque was there as well.
El Duque and Contreras.
El Duque Hernandez. Yeah.
Did they become teammates with the White Sox? Because
if not, they were teammates with the Yankees.
Well, hold on a second, Billy, because you were telling this story earlier, and I wanted to actually follow this path with you, because something I've gotten away from is writing about the Cuban athletes and their stories and how they came to this country. And Contreras's was heartbreaking. Because he had I think his father died while he was here in the pinstripes, Stugatz, and he had like a funeral by phone for his father as the Yankee pitcher. He wasn't successful with the Yankees in any meaningful way and was supposed to be, because he's this big dude who throws 100 miles an hour. And he was so heartbroken by not, being New York, living the dream, the pinstripes, but his family, his father just died and he couldn't get back. And the story of him and El Duque was a hugely emotional and human one. But Billy said the other day, and this is the first story of this kind that I ever wrote, that a neighborhood star of his was Rene Arocha. I remember going to a grocery store with Rene Arocha, the first of the Cuban defectors. I was following him around the minor leagues, like as he was striking out Kirk Gibson and telling like this wonderfully American Cuban story. And this month, you're going to see on HBO, Billy Corbin is doing a film that we're going to help him promote here about just how crazy Miami Cubans are and how Miami Cubans can swing this election, how Miami Cubans help steal the 2000 election. It's going to be on HBO, and it's a great documentary. I've seen it, and you guys are going to love it because it's kind of cocaine cowboys with politics, with like telling you what's happening in America right now could have been foretold coming through our gutter in the year 2000. But
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
But Rene Arocha, that was my favorite part of the show today. It really was that you were walking that line of calling the president a liar, Mike. You were walking that line.
I was there.
I was walking the other line. All right. The line across the street.
All right. Well, let me explain to the audience a whispered secret here. And Billy, we will get to you in a second because I want to get to this Rene Arocha story. But
he was just my cousin's neighbor. I don't have much more than
That's all you've got for
the
me?
The end. Hey.
You weren't Sui nominee.
You weren't starstruck by Rene
Well,
Arocha.
I saw him getting the mail one time, and he watered the grass in the front yard a couple times. But honestly, they were like, that's Rene Arocha. I'm like, cool, who's that? And they're like, well, he's a baseball player for the Cardinals. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I looked it up. I'm like, hey, I can see Rene Arocha across the street. He never talked to me.
I went to a grocery store with him, Stugatz, and the differences between Cuba and Miami are such that his knees gave okay upon walking into the grocery store because as a person from Cuba, he could not believe the excess in our grocery stores. Like to see rows upon rows of food that can be had, purchased through capitalism.
Sure.
Like, but that could be had, his knees gave because of how much American excess there are. So many Cubans come to the United States to be near Disney World, the land of excess, because that's what we are in America. We are consumers. And so Rene Arocha is standing in the aisle and he picks up a can and he shows it to me, just sort of says, I would buy this for my family. And it was a can of dog food. He saw a smiling child and a dog, and it was a can of dog food that he would have purchased for his family upon getting here because he hadn't been here very long. And he looks at me and he's like, "You guys have food for your dogs? Like you guys can do that?" And then LeVon Hernandez comes over here, and you know he's stealing detergent while deciding to come over here. Like these are. Unbelievable stories, but I don't remember Contreras and El Duque playing together.
They did for that White Sox team. That's interesting because that's stuff that we take for granted. Just to hear you explain, you know, how someone coming from Cuba would see our grocery stores and be like, what?
But I'm saying when we get into those weird, like, I don't even know, Masvidal, like, this is such a weird tension in Miami. And I don't know, Billy, how you feel about this. I haven't actually talked to Mike about how he feels about it, but how insane Miami is right now. And we talked to Masvidal on South Beach Sessions. His politics are just, you know, some of the stuff is just old school, handed down from your Cuban parents who were communist and know like where there's propaganda and lies in government and fear that America is, that freedom is going to be taken away from them. I don't know what you guys make specific.
Dan. It's not NFL news. That's this is my breaking news sound. Yeah. It has nothing to do with tyrannical governments and one standing in society. Totally unrelated to that. Daryl Morey has stepped down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big news.
What's it mean?
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
You guys don't think Carlton's going to call us back tomorrow?
No chance.
Steve Garvey has a better chance.
Now, wait a minute. No so chance. What's the bet? Let's make the bet.
The tone of his voice changed when I said, hey, he was serious about that.
Mike, how often have you seen that? Because in taping some of the Zoom stuff, I've seen some celebrity people be mean to you because they don't want to talk to you because you're not a celebrity.
Talking about Freddie Gibbs?
Is that the only time that happened?
Yeah, he was a little mean.
The Bee Gees guy? was it the Bee Gees guy?
No.
Barry Gibb.
Mike, what's happening? What is happening with your chase down? You're trying to get us a giant musical guest.
I am?
We are. People, Billy, Allison, we're trying to get...
I think this is news to Mike now.
Is this news to Mike? Because I thought I overheard you guys talking during a break. Did I miss something, Billy? That we are.
It's news to me, too. Who is this?
No, aren't we close to getting Neil Diamond?
Oh, that. Yeah, No.
What did you think I was talking about?
No, I knew what you were talking about. I just don't know how close we are if anyone's made any sort of effort.
So the conversation, this is the groundwork for getting Neil Diamond on the show. I have it on good authority that the segment we did yesterday on Neil Diamond has found its way to Neil Diamond.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah. So I know someone within the Neil Diamond camp, and I'm super excited that Neil Diamond knows that the show is fans of him, and I'm hoping something can come from that. Now, this isn't proper. I wouldn't dare ask Neil Diamond to share his time. I almost want him to volunteer it. I respect the man far too much to put him around this person who just makes it awkward and says, hey, we'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm not doing that to Neil Diamond.
I agree with you. Why don't we handle it? Me, you,
I am also not letting
Billy,
you in
Chris.
Exodus,
what do you mean? I love Neil. You know how much I love Neil.
Handle the Neil Diamond interview. Look,
get him on for like the big suey or something like that, and you know, keep Dan away from him.
No, all right. So I followed up, seeing how it goes. But keep in mind, Neil Diamond, he had to retire because he's dealing with a medical condition. He has Parkinson's, and he's living a very private life. Although at the start of the pandemic. I believe he released a video of him singing Sweet Caroline, and that's the only public appearance such that it was because he filmed it on a cell phone and he put it out there of Neil Diamond since he announced that he was going to stop touring, because it was like a light switch went off. All of a sudden, Neil Diamond, one of the great American singers, songwriters, and performers out there, says, I can't be a showman anymore, totally shuts it down.
I know this is probably going to anger you guys as huge Neil Diamond fans, but when I hear the name Neil Diamond, the first thing I think of is Saving Silverman, the movie.
It's like that for many people our age. And truth be told, I discovered Neil Diamond through Saving Silverman. I always knew who Neil Diamond was, but I actually discovered liking his music by how much those characters liked him in Saving Silverman.
Such a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie, and it's
great... if you hold them all together, it's one nacho.
What the hell is Saving Silverman? What is that?
Oh, you
what?
Seen it?
Roy,
Steve Zahn, Jack Black, Jason Biggs, Amanda Peet. Basically, the whole film is Zahn and Jack Black try to save their friend Jason Biggs from whose name is Silverman. They're trying to save him from a toxic relationship. They're friends because of their bond of love and adoration for Neil Diamond. And at one point, Neil Diamond gets kidnapped. Neil Diamond is in the movie. It's all about Neil Diamond.
Right. So good.
Yeah.
We found the movie that Roy has no clue about. Yeah. I know, it's crazy.
I give you the endorsement too. This movie's funny. Please watch Saving Silverman. It's a really good movie.
Not sure if it holds up, you know, with the whole 2020 stuff.
Yeah,
but I think
I'm curious to see that, because every time I'm like, man, I want to watch The Mask. I'm like, I love this movie as a kid. I'm like, whoosh. I watched Grease. I'm like, I love this movie as a kid. Whoosh. So Saving Silverman might find its way there. Because American Pie, certainly. You watch that back. Whoosh.
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
Didn't he announce his candidacy on our show?
No, but you pressed him.
Oh.
Yeah. You pressed him on it.
You had it first, Stugatz.
You were trying to get it.
Great job, Stugatz.
I think we did. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm apologizing. Why do you get mad at me, Roy?
If you watch it back, it could have been interpreted by people as we were pushing him towards that, just because he said stuff like,
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
All right, I got to get out of here, guys.
Yeah, I think
we're okay, goodbye.
Thank you. Weekend observations. Got to go.
See you. Oh, Stupidity.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You want to promote it?
Thanks for the plug.
Stupidity can be found on Levitard and Friends, the network. If you subscribe to that, you automatically subscribe to Stupidity. Or if you don't want the clutter on your phone, you can search out Stupidity on its own. The name Stupidity, subscribe to that feed.
Mikey C is out. He's getting oral surgery. So Mikey G, Mike Olick Sr., is filling in for.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's an upgrade.
Sorry. Don't tell Mikey C that.